Welcome to the Best of Beaver County, presented by St. Barnabas, a weekly segment dedicated to putting the focus on the amazing things and the amazing people behind them in Beaver County. The Best of Beaver County is sponsored by and content is provided by St. Barnabas. The show airs every Thursday from 11 to 11:30 on WBBP, WMBA, 99.3 FM, and Facebook Live. Now, with no further ado, let's welcome host Mike Romai to introduce today's program.
Welcome to the Best of Beaver County on the St. Barnabas radio station. I'm Mike Romai, and as we start the new year, we're all very hopeful for a positive outcome of the COVID-19 vaccine. That's what we're all wishing for as the new year comes about. We also continue to try and understand the effects of dementia and memory loss for our family members and loved ones. This continues to be a very important subject, and we've asked Jeff Bost to be with us once again. Jeff is a neurosurgical physician assistant, and he's returning as our guest today. Talk about the best ways to recognize the signs and the symptoms of dementia. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Glad to be here.
Good to have you once again, and I hope your holidays were fine, and looking forward to great things coming in the new year.
Absolutely. We're hopeful now.
Yes, we are very hopeful. Jeff, one of the things, as we get right into the topic of dementia and memory loss, so one of the most common signs of Alzheimer's is forgetting recently learned information. This is pretty interesting because I'm always making notes to remind me of something, like this morning before coming on the show, taking notes. But explain how dementia and memory loss works, that you might not be able to remember things that happened recently, but you can remember something that happened 50 or 60 years ago.
Right. It's an interesting phenomena, and it's basically based on the brain and the wiring of the brain. We have short-term memory and long-term memory. And the memories that we tend to keep over decades are the long-term memories because they're stored and remembered again and again, whether they come up as a relative's name or something that's really imprinted deeply within the brain. However, short-term memories are not encoded quite the same. There's different, actually, parts of the brain that encode short-term memory. And as you said, we tend to, our short-term memory, even in normal aging, tends to change and maybe deteriorate a little, and taking notes and writing things on calendars is certainly a normal part of aging. But it's when it affects you more chronically and then becomes more impactful on your life is some of the things that we look out for with someone who may be progressing to dementia.
Is this anything to be worried about? I mean, that we have to set reminders for ourselves, whether it's taking notes, putting something on a stick up, or even on a calendar, to write things down on the calendar to remember a doctor's appointment or somebody's birthday. Is that something that we should be concerned about?
Well, it can be. Oftentimes it's not, and fortunately for many people it is not. It's a normal process. However, the differentiation between a pathologic problem, meaning it's going to progress to dementia, and sort of like everyday short-term memory loss, which can occur as we get older, is really the progression. So we may have initially some mild short-term memory problems, and then it progresses to worse. And then there's a whole list of things that we really have to watch out for, whether it's by yourself or someone who's checking in on you, a family member or a friend, as far as how that memory problem and other cognitive problems, thinking problems, worsen over time. So that's really one of the things that I'd like to talk about today as part of our discussion.
Well, let's talk about short-term memory, because I don't know if you do it, but I know sometimes when I'm talking with somebody, I can't even, there's words you can't remember. You can't come up with the word, and you're thinking, why can't I come up with such a simple word? You may have just, and then you try and think about it in terms of a picture. What does it look like? And right. Are these things that are normal as we age, or is it something to be concerned about?
Well, I think most people have trouble with names. I know myself, however, you mentioned about a picture, And the idea of different types of memory. We have visual memory, we have hearing memory, we have experiential memory. One of the strongest memories we have are associated with emotion. For example, a very severe emotion like someone attacking you. You're never going to forget that. So there's different ways that things are encoded in the brain. Things that are important to us generally do get encoded to the long-term memory, and we don't forget them. And that's really when things become a problem, when someone can't recognize someone that they've known all their life. That's really the red flags that come up about possibly progressing to dementia.
Jeff, what is short-term memory, and how does it go into our brain? How is it stored there like a computer?
Well, again, it has to do with our brain, our anatomy of our brain, the circuits of our brain, and how it's wired. When we first learn something, we have to put a priority to it. Learning someone's name often is not a priority if we just meet them. But if three or four times we meet them and we know that, for example, they're going to be giving us money or owe us money, we may remember that name for the rest of our life. So it's about prioritizing something. That's one of the funny things about how we lose our keys and other items is we didn't prioritize. We didn't really think about where we set them. It was not a real conscious effort. But the idea of focusing on trying to remember something, for example, when we go back to our school days, you know, remembering the periodic table or something like that. We remembered that because we had an upcoming test, but then we may forget it later on, but we have a recognition of it, so it's familiar. So the idea of converting short-term to long-term memory is a multi-step process, as I said, it based on how much priority you put to it.
So if we're forgetting names or dates or even asking a question maybe a couple times within a visit, is it anything to worry about, granted, or taking into account the amount of information that goes into our hard drives or brains every day?
Well, we have an amazing brain that can store almost an infinite amount of information, but it's the idea of keeping it in that front part, if you will, in the RAM drive, if you will, a computer term, of an active memory. And if we forget someone's name over and over again, that is a problem. So we have to think about how dementia occurs because the wiring, literally, of our brain becomes interrupted. So the plaques, for example, in Alzheimer's disease disrupt the transmission between different nerve cells, and it's those connections that are a concern as we get older and may develop dementia.
Hmm. Jeff, can you tell us about the increased reliance on memory aids and what impact that might have on exercising our brains?
Right. Well, learning is really the key to exercising our brain. Just like as I think I said last time, you know, it's like a muscle. If we don't use it, it's going to atrophy. And the thinking and active thinking within our brain is really the key. There was recently a book that came out by Sanjay Gupta, who is a neurosurgeon, also announcer for CNN. And he talks about how we have to keep active, both physically and mentally, in order to stimulate our brain. And really, we talked last week how isolation is not stimulating our brain. We're getting very sluggish in our brain function, and so there's atrophy or weakening of our brain function occurring. But using memory tools as we get older is very common and should be done. It's the concern that as we get older, we can't remember, and we can't remember to do the tools either, and that sort of cycles on itself. But even people with mild dementia have very good coping mechanisms that they can be functional for long periods of time, with those aids you described.
Yeah. What about the reliance on family members? My wife, when she can't remember anything, she says, "Oh, I'll call Lindsay, my daughter, because she remembers everything. She's my brain."
Yeah, crutches. We call those crutches, and they're a great thing, but when they become over-reliant on a crutch, whether it's a person or having other tools, that's where you begin to be concerned. Someone just abdicates learning someone's names to a spouse. Well, that's their pattern, and that's the way it is, but there are generally, you know, you can tell over time, a family member can recognize this person knew this for many, many years, and now they're not knowing it anymore. And that's, those are the red flags, that some of the things I'd like to talk about.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of those red flags, some of those maybe uncommon signs. Maybe we all look for forgetting words or forgetting places or things like that. But what are some of the uncommon signs that we should be looking for?
Well, whether they're common or not, they're just part of life. For example, not able to do your finances, write your checks, pay your bills on time. So you can put a stamp on a letter that you're going to mail is some of the things that can occur. As well as you discussed memory problems. Those are the most common early sign. Getting lost, not recognizing your surroundings, whether it's walking or in a car, can be very frightening. Having speech changes or writing changes is one of the early signs as well. Not making good decisions. You know, we typically think of people who make bad decisions concerning, you know, the scams that are out there, the things that are people are calling, and they, you always say, well, why did they do that? Didn't they know it was a scam? Well, it could be related to some cognitive problems. Wow. Depression is one of the biggest things that I think we've talked about several times. It's both a risk factor as well as a result of having dementia. Someone who's becoming more depressed, withdrawn, mood swings, distrusting others, these are all part of the cognitive memory and emotional impact as dementia progresses. Changing sleep habits, wandering, loss of inhibition, you know, those type things are all part and parcel to our brains just not working well.
Jeff, is the individual usually the last to detect that? Is that where we rely on family members and loved ones to pick up on those telltale signs?
Right. It's the insight, Mike, and this is really a key to having family or friends looking in the windows, looking in the doors, so to speak, metaphorically, you know, really talking to that person, finding what they're up to. You know, why are they getting delinquent calls for checks and so on? What's happening, you know, within the house? Are they eating? You know, weight loss is one of the early signs of dementia because they're just not making food. So these are the family and the outside friends who know this person are one of the early keys to recognizing what's happening.
Jeff, that's a lot to try and remember, and we've only gone through like 15 minutes. There's a program St. Barnabas is hosting to help people with memory care. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I think that's the whole point, Mike. It really is a lot. But it's the early red flags that are very helpful to family and friends can do, and then what you do next. And that's what we're excited that St. Barnabas is now offering, a free in-home consultation for memory care. It would start with a phone call to 724-443-0700, and you would talk to a professional who knows about memory care and knows these signs that I just discussed. And then if it progresses, they can even arrange a home care, in-home visit with the person and the family. So it is a lot, and no one is expected to be experts in it, but there are experts available, which is really great. And St. Barnabas also has a website available at stbarnabasmemorycare.com that you can go to and also learn more.
And so that's available to any of our listeners? All they have to do is call that number?
Absolutely free, and I recommend it if you need it, because they're professionals that really know what's happening to your loved ones.
All right. We're going to take a short break here and then continue our conversation with Jeff Bost from St. Barnabas, and more information, great information for you and your loved ones coming up with Jeff on the St. Barnabas radio station. I'm Mike Romai, and we'll continue.
About your mom or dad, have you noticed a change in behavior? Forgetful and not as sharp? So where can you find help? St. Barnabas Memory Care is a wonderful option. Yes, St. Barnabas has helped thousands. Take advantage of their free in-home assessment of your loved one. A St. Barnabas professional will provide a no-charge evaluation of your personal situation. St. Barnabas can help you. Call 724-625-4000 or go to stbarnabashealthsystem.com/memorycare. St. Barnabas is apart from ordinary.
Welcome back to the Best of Beaver County on the St. Barnabas radio station. I'm Mike Romine, and we're speaking with neurosurgical physician assistant Jeff Bost from St. Barnabas. And we're talking about dementia and memory issues and a program that was begun by St. Barnabas that we'll tell you more about as we go along. Jeff has worked with Dr. Maroon on a number of different studies in dealing with fish oil and books and talks about the brain and memory. And it's a fascinating topic. And we're glad to have Jeff continuing with us here on the Best of Beaver County. Jeff, as we get into over the holiday season now and the COVID-19, that pandemic is on first and foremost on most people's mind, even more so than the flu. But what we're understanding is that even when people survive COVID-19, they may have long-term issues with their health and their memories. Do you have any ideas on how that affects one's memory?
Well, it's interesting because COVID, really about 50% of the complications that have occurred have been tracked back to the nervous system. One of the early signs that we learned about early on about COVID was the loss of smell and taste, which is affecting the olfactory nerve or the cranial nerve that involves the nose and also the glossopharyngeal, which is the tongue. So these are things that, related directly to the brain. The ramifications thus far typically are during the disease, meaning they're not typically long-term. There is an associated fog with it that people describe as well that often occurs with any illness and fever, but it seems to be more pronounced. So definitely COVID, for some reason, which we're obviously still learning, affects the nervous system more than many other conditions.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff, as we get into January and many of the schools going back into the classrooms, back in the fall, a number of athletic events were canceled because of the pandemic. And we talk about athletics and young people. It has come up probably in the last 5 to 10 years, more of an interest in the brains of young people, young athletes for that matter, and how these type of brain injuries could affect them later on down the line. Parents worry about it. Is it something to be concerned about? And what would you say to them?
Well, I'd say any head injury is a concern. And the good news now, as you said, Mike, over the last 10 years or so, it has been brought to the forefront that it's important. And really now there are mechanisms in place to treat it properly. And before this time, it really was thought of as the bump in the head or I'm seeing stars and it's really nothing. But now we know the importance of healing and the time of recovery and when actually to send someone back into sport. So the advance in that science has really developed tremendously. And so management really has been the key to preventing what we believe is long-term sequelae of head injury.
Yeah. Head injuries, we talk about them and service members from as far back as World War I used to talk about shell shock. And then as Vietnam came to a close, we started hearing more about post-traumatic stress disorder. Can you explain what that is? And is it something that affects the brains of more than just service members?
Well, of course. I mean, there's abuse, domestic abuse, that can certainly cause a trauma to someone. So there's lots of causes for it. There are some central things that occur. And in fact, I think I discussed earlier about rewiring the brain. These things, these memories and thoughts of PTSD tend to rewire the brain and make it very difficult for someone to forget. They actually change some brain hormones and increase the anxiety level producing hormones in our brain and decrease and increase certain neurotransmitters. So there's actually physiologic and psychologic changes that occurred with PTSD, and that's really why anybody who is suspected that or believe they have it really needs to seek out further help, because it's not something like you can do it on your own in the sense that, it's just something that you get over it, so to speak, which is, as you said, back to shell shock, that's what they thought. They could just say, well, shake out of it. the famous story about George Patton, the general in World War II, you know, just saying, you know, shake out of it, get out of it. And really, it's a medical condition that needs help.
Mm-hmm. Because there are people who carry these memories along with them for 60 years and for their entire lives. Is there a way for our brains to heal without going through medications and therapy? Or is that something that really needs to get into a person's system to knock the neurotransmitters back into place?
I think it's both, Mike, and really it's a case-by-case basis. You know, not everybody has to receive counseling and medications and other treatments, but they're there, and the science, as I said earlier, is really advanced in this, and so there's no shame in getting help. Oftentimes when it comes to PTSD and it's affecting your life, then you should consider or have family members discuss with you, strongly consider getting further help and counseling.
Is it something, do we understand as lay people, lay persons, do we understand the difference between signs of dementia and symptoms of dementia?
Well, it's a great question because we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the things that can occur, agitation, memory loss, things like that. But they're also, personality changes, there are physiologic changes, as I said earlier, weight loss. But, Mike, I have some good news with that in that not everybody with signs and symptoms of dementia have dementia that's irreversible. Oftentimes, you know, someone thinks about their grandmother who had Alzheimer's and they say, well, I'm going to have that too. But there are a lot of causes of dementia that are actually reversible. And this is where a trained professional, a physician, or a counselor can be helpful in that there are certain medical conditions, for example, abnormal blood sugars. People that take certain medications, diabetic medications, can lower their blood sugar, and that can cause some dementia. Abnormal thyroid hormones, abnormal vitamin B12. These can also precipitate symptoms like dementia. Something like hydrocephalus, which is something that I've dealt with many years in my career, increased pressure in the brain can mimic dementia. And you just treat someone with a shunt, and they're nearly normal. So these are reversible problems. Someone, unfortunately, might have a brain tumor that might act, off. Is really you remove the brain tumor, and they're normal. Alcohol and drug abuse. So there's lots of things that a medical personnel really need to look at because 20% of dementias are reversible. So we really have to get the professionals involved in this.
So the numbers are on our side.
Absolutely, 20%. Absolutely. And the other thing is medications. You know, medications like anticholinergics, which are commonly used over the counter to prevent nausea, they can affect thinking. You ever have a Benadryl? What does it do? It makes you sleepy. That's an antihistamine. People that take those all the time will not be thinking properly. Muscle relaxants, pain pills. There's a whole host of medications and the side effects associated with them that can cause you not to think well. And the big thing is, as we get older, we're much more sensitive to these medications. So it's like a tipping point. You can go right over the edge with taking a Benadryl, and all of a sudden, your thinking is off. So these are red flags that we have to look at.
Mm. So it's more important than ever than for this initiative by St. Barnabas to take place at this time because many people don't want to go to a physician. Many people try and stay out of the hospitals for reasons related to the pandemic, but you can't do that at the risk of your own health. So tell us more about this initiative and how it can help people.
Well, it's as simple as a phone call, Mike, and that's really the key to get you started. You can call 724-443-0700, and there are trained professionals that are there to discuss these things. You know, if you need to see a physician, they'll recommend it. I mean, we don't want to miss reversible causes, but the point is you're starting on the path, and it's really important to do that. You can go to their website as well, stbarnabasmemorycare.com, and learn more. But after the initial evaluation, you can be screened at home if necessary. But without making that first step, you're not going to get the help.
And this is a holistic approach. It takes into effect the mind, the body, and even nutrition.
Absolutely. You know, if people have a stigma often about being in a senior care facility, it covers all the bases. It has the food you need, the nutrition you need, the socialization, the therapy, the interactions. All of these things are there if you need them. So it's the idea of, you know, not waiting, because actually that'll deteriorate things and even faster.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be a person who goes to St. Barnabas. You don't have to belong to St. Barnabas. It could be anyone in our listening audience who is concerned enough for themselves or a loved one to reach out for this program.
All you need is a phone, Mike. That's it. And it's really open to the whole tri-state area.
How does the campus at St. Barnabas work with people who may have dementia? The surroundings, how important is the surroundings and the idea that these are common to individuals, that there is a certain pattern that they develop, so that helps them on their journey?
Well, the main thing that we talk about as far as memory care, first of all, there's at least four memory care units at St. Barnabas. They all have similar operations in the sense it's looking after safety. You know, that's really the key. When safety becomes an issue, these facilities are designed for safety in mind. So that's the first stepping point that is there. Also, the care and the you know, physical care, whether it's hygiene, feeding, all those things that are necessary, providing food and structure. But the big thing is socialization. Someone else is there, whether it's the staff or other residents that are there with you, and someone's observing you. And so the idea of safety is very important.
So when adult children check in on their parents, maybe every day, maybe once a week, maybe only once a month, they're in their homes alone. They have throw rugs in the bathroom, throw rugs in the hallway that they could trip over and fall. They don't have perhaps the contacts that are necessary to help them in these periods of time. So many people are alone in their homes with only their television sets as their companions. Something like the socialization that you talk about at St. Barnabas is really helpful to people in their mind, body, and spirit.
Absolutely. We've heard many horror stories of someone, you know, being on the ground for long periods of time and the injuries that can occur to them because of that. So just the idea of the physical contact, the personnel contact, the resident contact really is beneficial at certain points in our lives. And no one wants to give up their independence. People understand that. However, there's a safety issue and a tipping point, and I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to that said, boy, this is the best thing I've ever done. So it's the hindsight, the unknown that scare people, but really, once they get started on the path, it really is satisfying, and they really are glad they made it.
Jeff, I'm going to ask you one more time to repeat the phone number where people can reach out to get information on the memory program.
Absolutely. This is St. Barnabas Memory Care Center, and it's 724-443-0700, or you can go to stbarnabasmemorycare.com.
Jeff Bost, thank you so much for being with us. I know the information that you're spreading is really valuable to so many people in our listening audience.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff Bost, and this is the St. Barnabas radio station, and the program is The Best of Beaver County. I'm Mike Romai. We'll talk next time. Be safe.
About your mom or dad, have you noticed a change in behavior? Forgetful and not as sharp? So where can you find help? St. Barnabas Memory Care is a wonderful option. Yes, St. Barnabas has helped thousands. Take advantage of their free in-home assessment of your loved one. A St. Barnabas professional will provide a no-charge evaluation of your personal situation. St. Barnabas can help you. Call 724-625-4000 or go to stbarnabashealthsystem.com/memorycare. St. Barnabas is apart from ordinary.
Thank you for listening to The Best of Beaver County. St. Barnabas is pleased to have provided content and sponsorship for the program. Tune in this Sunday at 11:30 for an encore presentation of today's program on Beaver County Radio. And next Thursday at 11 for another edition of The Best of Beaver County on WBVP, WMBA, and 99.3 FM.